You see, this is the qualifying piece of the fellowship, the point that John is making. Yeah, I know you're a Christian, but are you in the fellowship of the truth of who he is, the blood that he shed on the cross for you? Do you understand that? That's the point that John is making here. You see, we can all wear the jersey. We can all put the sticker on the back of our car. But what does your life look like? When you go home and you're by yourself, who is that person?
Who opened your prison doors?
God.
Who dried up your ocean floor?
Aloha, and welcome to God's Amazing Grace with Pastor Kaleo Searle from Calvary Chapel Leeward Coast, located in Waianae on the island of Oahu, where the power of God's Word and the Holy Spirit is bringing salvation to the lost and discipling the saved. Now, let's study the Word of God.
Who came in the nick of time?
We read, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. That's John, by the way. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him, I loved to ask who it was of whom he spoke. Then leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said to him, Lord, who is it? And the reason why I shared this account is because this is the relationship that John had with Jesus, the Son of God. Notice that Peter said, John, you ask him questions. He loves you. Peter, why not you ask him? But that just speaks of the relationship that John had with Jesus. Where was John during this time? Leaning on the chest of Jesus Christ. John would never deny his Jesus. And he didn't. This is why he was thrown in a pot of boiling oil. But he didn't die. So they banished him. He was on the island of Patmos. That's where he wrote the book of Revelation. You see, Rome, even the Pharisees, they all persecuted the apostles. All they had to do was deny that Jesus was the King, the Son of God, and they could live. You can be with your wife. You can be with your children. You can have this amazing life in this world that we provided you. All you have to do is deny Jesus Christ. And they said, no, I can't. I won't. And if it means my life, then so be it. And in this, there's a validation that further strengthens the truth that Jesus is God. You see, because they're written words, what John is writing and that we have in the gospel, these personal eyewitness accounts, I mean, just think about it. These were all men that were with Jesus Christ that saw all of this. And then later on, in different areas of the world and at different times, they write these. They didn't have a cell phone. They didn't have email. Hey, what are you going to write for chapter 8? Because this is what I'm writing. And yet when we put them side by side and we look at them, how is that possible? You know why? Because it's all true. And yet the world says, this is rubbish. How can you deny the truth? It would be like somebody coming up to me and saying, Kaleo, I want you to deny that Mary is your wife and that you are married to her. How can I do that? I can't, because that's truth. And if I did, my wife would punch me in the throat. Verse 2, John continues with his personal statement of the Messiah. The life was manifested, he writes. That eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. You see, John is emphasizing the life of Jesus Christ. God's only begotten Son manifested. It means to show oneself, to appear. And the depths of this, I don't fully understand. And I'm not going to sit up here or stand up here and say, oh yeah, I know exactly what this is. I don't. How the triune God sent his Son to this earth, to sinful man, and yet still being God. I don't understand all of that. But I believe in it all. Because it's true. The eternal life came in power, in sovereignty, in holiness, and dwelt among us so that you and I can have this eternal life, right? John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's my Jesus. And in writing of that eternal life, John is making the point that Jesus is God. The eternal life that was with the Father came to us. Jesus is God. Daniel chapter 7 verse 9 makes a reference to God the Father, and he is called the Ancient of Days. You see, God was not created. There was and is no beginning when it comes to creation of God. He always has been. And always will be. And so it is with Jesus. Jesus is not a created being like many false religions teach. John is going to address this when we get to chapter 2. And I just wanted to read just two verses from that, because it strengthens this point. First John chapter 2 verse 22 says this: who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Excuse me. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. You see, I pray that those who follow these false religions would read these verses. Because what they're speaking in their gatherings is that of the Antichrist. God's word is very clear. And it is in this truth that John repeats himself. We have seen and bear witness and declare to you. This word bear witness, it means to affirm what one has seen, heard, or experienced. Declare. It means to proclaim, to make known openly. You see, John wants the world to know the truth that he is writing down. In the Gospel of John, we read something that's very interesting. In John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, we read this. And John is writing this. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. That eternal life only comes through Jesus Christ. In verse 3, back in 1 John, we see for a third time, John makes the point, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. Man, don't you love this, his persistence? No, I saw. No. I heard Jesus say that. Jesus grabbed me and he hugged me and he said, John, you clown, stop it. You can't tell me that that didn't happen. You can't tell me that I didn't see him raise people from the dead. You can't tell me that I didn't see him raised from the dead. You can't tell me that I didn't hear the voice of God the Father said, this is my son. Listen to him. John makes known why the emphasis, the purpose of these words, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, keep in mind, John is writing to believers. Okay, so this fellowship is not referring to being born again, to receiving salvation. It is addressing knowing the truth of who Jesus Christ is, the eternal life, and walking in that truth as the apostles did. This word fellowship in the Greek, it means koinonia. And this is a very special word because it refers to those having something in common. It refers to a partnership, the share which one has in anything, and it is recognized and it is enjoyed. This was the word that was spoken of for the Christians in the early church. And by the way, this is a cafe that's at Calvary Chapel, Honolulu. They call it the Koinonia Cafe. And I love that it says that. John says that you also may have fellowship with us. And the reason why he's saying that is because of their fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, because they beheld Him. John is saying, como mai, sao I, for you Samoan. He's saying, come, join us. Join us as we fellowship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Join us as we fellowship with God the Father, who sent His only begotten Son, so that you know and understand who He is, so that your life would be forever changed as ours is. That's why they all died. How can I deny the truth? The apostles never denied the word that became flesh. This fellowship is in the truth of who Jesus is. And all that God has done and all that He is doing and all that He will do, because He loves us. And the life that is produced from it. You see, this is the qualifying piece of the fellowship, the point that John is making. Yeah, I know you're a Christian. Christian. I know you're a Christian, but are you in the fellowship of the truth of who He is, the blood that He shed on the cross for you? Do you understand that? That's the point that John is making here. You see, we can all wear the jersey. We can all put the sticker on the back of our car. But what does your life look like? When you go home and you're by yourself, who is that person? When you're at school, when you're at work, when you're driving on the road, who is that person? Because when you and I have fellowship with Jesus Christ, knowing and understanding who He is, all we want to do is please our Father in heaven. That's the point that John is making. You fellowship with us as we fellowship with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. This is not just wear the shirt. Yeah, you one of us, dog. I ride and die with you. It's talking about your walk. Are you living it out? You see, I can say I do to my bride on our wedding day. And I can even put the ring on. Okay, it's on. Only reason why is because I surf. And so sometimes I take it off. So, honey, it's on if you're here. I can say I do. I can wear the ring. But if I'm not walking in the truth of my marriage, if I'm not living out my vows that I made to my bride, I don't have true fellowship with my bride. Because I just have the ring. And it breaks my wife's heart. You see, when you and I, because we are the bride of Christ, when we do what we want to do, and we justify it, because we're so good at that, even though you're flat out wrong. No one understand this. You break the heart of Jesus Christ. This is the fellowship that John is talking about. In verse 4, John finishes his prologue with writing these things we write to you that your joy may be full. In the Greek, this means complete gladness, the fullness of gladness. This word is used in Matthew chapter 25, when Jesus is talking about the servants and their faithfulness, and he says, enter into the joy of the Lord because you were faithful. Some translations have that our joy may be full. The New King James Version, which I read from, says, that your joy may be full. Either way, both are true. You see, when you and I fellowship in the truth of who Christ is, when you and I follow Him and walk in His ways, there is a joy that fills our hearts that surpasses all understanding. It's not a happiness. It's not a temporary thing. We're so good at chasing the little temporary things in this world. It's all lies. It's all rubbish. Jesus said, I am your joy. In the salvation that you have through me, that is your joy. Also, when we see other believers in this same fellowship, there is that same joy that fills our hearts, that surpasses all understanding. And in the big picture of this, Jesus is the example of this joy. You see, you, all you guys right now that I'm pointing to, and me, do you know that you are His joy? Do you know that? In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, we read, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Know and understand this, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus went to the cross because he had you in his heart. And to him, that was the joy. I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to suffer for Stephen, for Kayla, for Andre. You and I are his joy. There is a cost. I'm not going to say that it's all fluffy, that it's going to rain lemon drops. It's just the opposite. It rains arrows. When you decide to follow Jesus Christ with all your heart, the warfare increases, the arrows increase. And this has deterred many from following Jesus. And I want to encourage you as a brother in Christ, don't let it. You want to get stronger in the weight room? You need to add plates. As a little kid, I used to watch Sefulu in the weight room. My brother, his classmate, throwing up wheels, man. I call the big plates wheels. And I used to go, I want to do that one day. See, the only way I can get there is I got to put in the work. There's a cost. There's training. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus says this, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. My brothers and sisters in Christ, fellowship. Please know and understand what that means. I want us to stop wearing the jersey. I want us to stop just having the sticker on our car. And I want us to follow Jesus Christ, taking up our cross daily. Whatever that looks like. I'll close with this and then we'll pray. At the pastor's conference, one of the pastors said, how can you change the world like the world? Do you look like the world? When you're with your friends? When you're with your family? Or do they see Jesus Christ? I want to take it a little further. Do you look like Jesus when you're by yourself? That's the heart of it. And that's what Jesus desires for you and I. He says, you come, you follow me. You deny yourself, you take up your cross.
Who opened your prison door?
You've been listening to God's Amazing Grace with Pastor Kaleo Soro of Calvary Chapel, Leeward Coast. Mahalo for joining us as we study God's Word together. If you're on the Leeward Coast of Oahu, our fellowship meets Sunday mornings at 9:30 and Thursday nights at 7. Wake up and come on out. We are located at 87672 Farrington Highway in Ma'ili. You can also visit us online at calvarychapelleewardcoast.com. Aloha, a hui ho, ma lama pono. Until next time, may you know God's amazing grace.
If you had water in the wilderness, if you ever been pulled up out the pit, if you made it through and it makes no sense, yeah, that's how you know it was him. If you got a savior who broke your chains, if you got a maker who made a
prison doors.
Got it, got it.
Who dried up your ocean floor?